Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Branson, Missouri. And we're in a series, School of Eschatology 1. This is part 2, actually of a school that I taught some years back, and I decided to teach it on radio for you. We're talking now about prophecy in Scripture, its place and importance. Today, we're looking into the fact that Israel, as a nation, is a nation with a prophetic anointing. Romans 3, 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The prophetic anointing is on the nation of Israel to bring us the word of God. Now, in Psalm 105, and if you have your Bible, I wish you would turn there with me. That whole entire psalm has to do with Israel, and it has to do with God bringing them out of Egypt. It's an amazing psalm to read through. I like it where it says about Psalm 105, verse 8, "He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the word unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the land of your inheritance." So he defines for us here what is the everlasting covenant that he has with Israel for the land. Now going on, verse 12. "When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in the land, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." One translation says, "God warned, dare not touch those whom I have anointed. They are appointed to represent me in this world." This, back then, I'll just read you exactly as the King James. "He reproved kings for their sakes." Now that's going to refer to with Sarah, and this is what the side reference gives to you. First, Pharaoh. Remember that they went down to Egypt, and Abraham got afraid, and so he told them that Sarah was his sister. She probably was with a different mother, and a different, or a cousin even, but probably even a sister. And it doesn't have to do with like we do today. There were not so many genetic things wrong with the people. The line was more pure back then. But she was definitely related to him, exactly. And he didn't tell exactly a lie. But then Pharaoh took her. And while she was there with Pharaoh, the Lord protected her. And in Genesis chapter 12, 17, "And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife." And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this? They got plagues. What is this that you've done? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife?" And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now that happened with Pharaoh over Sarah. It happened again with, the correct pronunciation is Avimelech, the Philistine king, but we usually say how do we say that? Or you say Abimelech. We usually say Abimelech, but it's Avimelech. And whenever the Philistine king took her, what the Lord did there, Genesis 20, verse 18, "The Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Avimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife." In both cases, it says it was because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And then it happened again with Rebekah, when Isaac did the same thing his father had done. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, Avimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah's wife. And then he knew that she was his wife. And Abimelech said, "What is this you've done unto me? One of my people might lightly have lain with thy wife, or shouldest thou have brought guiltiness upon us?" And Abimelech, the Philistine king, charged all his people, saying, "He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." They had that much respect to God. Now, in the psalm itself, it says, "He suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, 'Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm.'" This was when they were first coming into these kingdoms. Now, it's just Sarah and Rebecca. What's he talking about? "Do my prophets no harm." It's because they were the matriarchs and the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. They're going to be the matriarchs and the patriarchs of the nation that's going to give us the word of God. They're going to be the matriarchs and the patriarchs of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. So they had that a prophetic. He said, how did he say it? Let's look at exactly what he said. "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." Prophets, all the prophets that were in Sarah's womb, all the prophets that were in Rebecca's womb. Bless the Lord. Jesus himself pointed out that Israel is a sign and has a prophetic anointing on it. When he was asked what would be the sign of his parousia and of the end of the age, the sign of these things coming, the temple being destroyed, this comes from Matthew 24, 1 through 3 and Luke 21, 29. When they were asked, he was asked, what is the sign of these things? He had just prophesied the temple being destroyed. They said, "Lord, what is the sign? When will these things come to pass? What will be the sign of your parousia, your coming as a king? And what will be the sign of the end of the age?" And Jesus said, "Watch the fig tree." The fig tree is Israel. We know that he's referring to right here from Micah chapter 5, when he said that the fig tree had been stripped. It will have been all the bark taken off of it, but then it will bud again. And he said, "You watch the fig tree." So any serious study of eschatology or the things of the end or the signs of the times must include a study of Israel. God has chosen. We're talking about prophecy in Scripture, its place and importance. God has chosen that his holy written word be more than one half prophecy. Some people say two-thirds. Now you think of it from the beginning. There was a long time when the Messiah was prophesied and he hadn't come yet. All through the Old Testament, most of the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled. There are still others about these very last days that have not been fulfilled, but they will as surely be fulfilled as the other ones were fulfilled. Prophecy, more than one half, probably two-thirds of the Scriptures are prophetic. Prophecy in Scripture, its place and importance. Now, talking about its importance, there are some wonderful chapters in Isaiah. And these chapters, I like to hear God brag on himself. And in these chapters, we're going to go to chapter 41 and verse 8. Isaiah 41, 8. "But thou, Israel, are my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Now, sometimes he calls Israel Jacob. He calls the nation Jacob. They have three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He doesn't call them Abraham. Abraham had other sons. He doesn't call them Isaac. Isaac had another son, Esau. But he calls them Jacob, because it was Jacob's 12 sons who became the nation of Israel. In Isaiah 41, 8, "But thou, Israel, are my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and call thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast you away." Israel and its relationship to prophecy. Isaiah 41:10, God speaking to Israel. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now this is an important verse right here. You've got to get it. Verse 41:11, Isaiah. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Those incensed against Israel. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Isaiah 41:21. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Who is them? The people that are incensed against Israel. The people who came against Israel. Verses 11 and 12. Verse 22 says, let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yea, do good or evil, that we be dismayed and behold it together. So he says to them, all those who are incensed against Israel, all who come against Israel, bring them up here. Let them tell the future so that we may know they are gods. The litmus test for being God is that you can tell the future and it comes to pass. God is the only one who has dared to do it, dared to write in his word, and all those things. This is the importance. It actually proves to us who is the real God. That's why studying Bible prophecy is marvelous and wonderful, and all of us should do it, like Peter said, especially to get a bright light in the darkness. Then going on down in that chapter, Isaiah 41:26. He's the God who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say he is righteous. There is none that declareth. There is none that heareth your words. None of them can do it. None of them can declare from the beginning that we may know. None of them are the true gods. This is Billy Brim thanking you for being with us today and during this time of our going through the school of eschatology. It's so important in these last days to know what the Bible says, to rightly divide the word. And we'd like you to, if you want to contact us, you can do so by calling 1-800-972-3447 or 417-336-4877. Go on billybrim.org, and there you can listen to the archive radio programs and catch up if you tuned in with us late. So those will tell you how to do it. We've so enjoyed having you. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.